Now listen very carefully. God did not call us, the body of Christ, to fail. Do you believe that? Is there anything out here in our society today, or even in the time of Joshua, that's bigger than God?
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill begins a study of the Old Testament book of Joshua. The practical message of the book of Joshua is that God keeps his promises and enables his servants to succeed if they will trust him and obey his word. So we hope you'll tune in daily and take this journey through Joshua with Pastor Bill. Now let's join Pastor with today's message, Time to Possess.
Amen. Let's turn to the Old Testament book of Joshua tonight, the first of the 12 historical books. And it opens up with Joshua. And we're going to be, of course, in chapter 1, a great study. Tonight we're going to talk about the theme of Joshua, which is actually possession. So it's a time to possess. It's a time for the children of Israel now to enter the good land that God is giving them and to conquer it as well. So the theme again of Joshua is that of possession. And they have to take what God has given unto them, and so do we. Amen? We do that by faith. Joshua says this in Joshua 11:23. It says, so Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord God had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions and tribes. And then it says, the land rested from war. They're going into Canaan. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, say, well, Canaan land is a time of bliss and rest and so forth. No, Canaan is not a type of heaven. Amen? No, when you take the land, Jesus said the violent take it by force. And you have to go in, and there's war there. There's no war in heaven. So the children of Israel, they're going to possess the land, but they have to take it just like we do. And that is by faith in what God has promised. And so Israel's ownership of the land, God says, I'm going to give it to you. And God has given it to them. That is unconditional. It's an unconditional, everlasting promise. However, Israel's possession of the land is conditional. They have to go and do what God says. They have to take it. They have to appropriate it by faith. And everything that God has given unto us, we appropriate by faith. He has already given us so many things, all of our spiritual blessings. So remember that Joshua, his name, he's a type of Christ, if you will, the type of our Lord Jesus. His name means Jehovah is salvation, and the equivalent in the Greek would be the name of our Savior, Jesus. So Joshua here, we're going to find he's going to conquer all the earthly enemies, and we know that Jesus, our Yeshua, our Savior, he's conquered all of the enemies against us as well, hell, sin, and death, and the devil. Now, again, we appropriate by faith here the introduction, a little lengthy introduction before we begin in verse 1. We appropriate by faith by what God has already given unto us. Listen to what Joshua says in chapter 18 about the possession of the land. It says in Joshua 18:3, and Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go, and there's that word, possess. That's the key word in the book of Joshua. Possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers have given you. Now listen carefully tonight. You know, we know what happened to Israel, but we need to ask ourselves the same exact question. How long will we neglect to possess all that our Savior has given unto us? Amen. Oh, I don't want to miss out on anything, and I know you don't either. You know, Alan Redpath said this, a great man of God who's gone home to be with the Lord. He said, there seems to be a very wide gulf between what we believe and how we live, a marked contrast between our position in Christ and our experience. I want to be able to experience all that Jesus has given unto us, don't you? everything. You know, and how do we do that? The Bible tells us that Paul told the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 4, verse 1. He told us, he said, I beseech you, brethren, to walk worthy of your calling. Remember the word worthy there, the Greek word. It means like a set of weights. The scales are balanced on each side. So to walk worthy means to be equal in doctrine and equal in application. You hear the word of God, then you do the word of God. That's what the whole book of Joshua is about. You know, and today in the 21st century, you know, Daryl just gave me a poll or whatever of what's going on in the churches, and I was just reading it about what they're believing today. Few believers today are really taking the word of God literally and believing it. It's crazy the things that are happening, especially in America. Listen, the church of the 21st century, we know so much, but we do so little. I don't want to be like that. And I look at this great book of Joshua, and you know, spiritual maturity. Remember that spiritual maturity is not based on what we know, but it's based on what we do, isn't it? Amen? To be doers of the word of God. Now listen very carefully. God did not call us, the body of Christ, to fail. Do you believe that? Is there anything out here in our society today, or even in the time of Joshua, that's bigger than God? No. Listen, we are not called to fail. Now let's begin looking at the time to possess here, beginning in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, the death of Moses, that connects us back to Deuteronomy chapter 34, just a page back where Moses dies there on Mount Nebo and God buries him. It says, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is what? He's dead. Now, therefore, speaking to Joshua, he says, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all of this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. Now, here's something that I know you don't see this, but do you see the lonely heart of Joshua? You say, Bill, that's not in the text. Oh, I promise you it really is. You know, listen, leadership is the loneliest place in the church, believe me. It is the loneliest of all places. And here, Moses is dead, the man who spoke face to face with God. And did you notice that Joshua just didn't jump out and say, hey, I'm the leader now? He was probably hiding someplace, okay? That's what I would have been. I mean, think, you know, Moses is gone, and now I know that I've been, you know, the next leader to lead the children of Israel. And so all the way back in Numbers 27, that's when Joshua was, you know, inaugurated and chosen to be the leader after Moses' death. And now that day has finally arrived. Let me say something about new leaders when they take over from the old leaders. You know what they don't need? They don't need advice. You ever notice that when a new person takes over, let me tell you how we used to do it. Or let me tell you what I think should be done. Or I'm going to take you to lunch and explain what I think. You understand? Well, if you've been in the ministry as long as I have, I've heard it all, you know? But a new leader doesn't need advice. You know what he needs? He needs encouragement. The whole, because he knows what he's facing. He feels the weight of the responsibility that's upon his shoulders. You know, and the thing is that, did man call Joshua? No. God's the one who does the calling. God's the one who does the calling. And God called him. God has called us. You know, I was in Houston Monday for Love Never Fails International and had a tremendous meeting down there. It was just wonderful with a school district there. Well, matter of fact, we just received an email today that they want us, LNFI, our after-school program in Houston. Isn't that great? So, yes, and so, you know, we've got a lot of work to do, but we haven't made that decision to go, but I feel sure that if I pressure everyone enough, we will be there, okay? So while I was there, this wonderful woman, her name was Tanya, she was talking, she came and started talking to me about the seven pastors in her area, and that seven of the pastors in her local area had retired and they didn't have a replacement. Boy, that is a tragic thing, isn't it? I mean, for a church, you know, not to have an exit strategy and so forth. You know, we have an exit strategy here. And one day, I don't know when it's going to be, next week maybe, next year, who knows, only God knows. You know, he may say to me tomorrow, Bill, you are boring and you are through. You know, especially after this pink hair incident tomorrow, I don't know. So the thing is that one day, a new pastor who's going to take this pulpit, and he will be called by God. And here's my prayer to you. Please encourage him. Please pray for him. Please support him as he builds on our past to take you into the future. Amen. You know, things change. You know, the music changes and you know, whatever, and all, but the Word of God never changes. And that's what this church is built on, is God's Word. Amen? So here we find Joshua. Oh, and does he have some huge shoes to fill? And God says to him, Joshua, my servant, what a title, my servant Moses is dead. Did you know that that title, that special title, my servant, is almost exclusively in the Old Testament given to Moses? Think about that. Do you know that here when we opened it said, he spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. It's going to be all the way to the very last chapter, chapter 24, verse, I think, 29. And only after the death of Joshua at the age of 110 does God call him my servant. There's a lot of things that he has to grow into. Amen. Did you know that we all grow like that? That, you know, people that take the pulpit, maybe they're young and so forth. Do you know it's hard going into the ministry, really? I mean, in a way, thinking that, you know, you're young, you have all this on you, and you make mistakes, you say things you shouldn't say in the pulpit, and every pastor has done that. Amen. I've done it. That's the way we grow. So pray for the pastors. Amen. Now, with all that being said here, we look at this, and the thing is it's not about the servant. It's about the master of the servant, and that is our Lord and Savior. Now, I want you to look at the end of verse 2 again. It says there, it says, you cross over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. No one on this planet can question God's right to give Canaan to the children of Israel. And yet, it's questioned all the time. You know, it's funny how man or governments think they own part of the earth or the earth. They don't own the earth. It even amazes me more that the devil, Satan himself, the god of this age, the deceiver, the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he thinks he owns the earth. But he doesn't. There's only one that owns the earth. Amen? It says in Psalm 24, 1, David writes this. He says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell therein. All man belong to God. Whether they believe in God or not, whether they believe in Christ or not, they all belong to God. Amen? God is sovereign. And look out here at this world that God owns. Would you say we are living in a troubled world? You know, here we are declaring war against ISIS, and boy, do we need to be praying. We need to be praying that boiling pot of the Middle East doesn't spew into a World War III. Not that I'm trying to be depressing tonight, but I'll tell you, if you're not praying for Middle East right now, shame on you. We need to be praying, and we need to be praying for America. We need to be praying for America's safety as these militant people try to come back from these areas that they've recruited from all parts of the world and come back into our nation. How we need to be in prayer and be wise and listen to the Holy Spirit and so forth. But you know what? This troubled world that we live in, I don't know why God doesn't say, you know what, it's time. But it's the goodness of God, isn't it? That long-suffering of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3, 9, it says, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank God that it's not over yet. Now, with all that being said, look how the Lord encourages his new leader. He says in verse 3, every place every place that the sole of your foot will tread, or literally will march upon. Look what God says in the past tense. I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea, that's the Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. When will Israel finally and fully possess the land of Israel? When will it really be theirs again? At the second coming, amen? It's good that we know that. But listen, open our ears tonight to the God, our God, who cannot lie. He spoke in the past tense. He said, Joshua, I have given you. In other words, you already, the children of Israel, you already possess the title deed, if you will, or the legal title to the land. God gave Israel, according to verse 3 there that I just read, 300,000 square miles of land. You know how much they possessed? We'll find out, about 30,000 square miles. So that's about one-tenth of their possession. You know, I don't want to walk in one-tenth of all that God has given me. Do you? I don't want to be cheated like that. And I look and I said, oh, Lord, you know what? Every blessing that we have, every spiritual blessing we have has already been given to us in Christ. And the only way that we can take what belongs to us is, number one, know it, and number two, believe it and appropriate it by faith. Amen? So, you know, remember there's two churches left on earth, Laodicea, the church that's going to go through the great tribulation period, according to the book of Revelation, and then the faithful church, that of Philadelphia. Do you remember the promise, and I believe we are the church of Philadelphia, do you remember the promise that Jesus gave to the church of Philadelphia? Let me read it to you from Revelation 3:8. Jesus said this, I know your works. Jesus said, see, I've set before you an open door. Say that with me, open door. And no one can shut it. No one on earth has power to shut the door that Jesus opens. For you have a little strength. In other words, the church, you know, you're weak enough to be used by God. You've kept my word. In other words, we're to be doers of God's words, just not hearers only. And have not denied my name, not denied the name of the Lord, no matter what the cost. Jesus says the same thing that God is saying to Joshua. Jesus said, I've given you the incredible gift. I have given you an open door, and no power on earth can shut it. You know, today as I was visiting the LNFI after school programs and so forth, and looking, I looked over earlier, over the I Am Terrell area, and the area that we're going into, the church is going into, and I said, it's just not that big. Do you understand? We're not taking a city. We're not taking a county. We're not taking a state. We're taking a little, small, dinky nothing. And all I hear from leaders and everybody, oh, it's too big. It's a giant. There are no giants. Amen? And there's not any giants in your life unless you make them giants. There's no one bigger than our God. There's no one mightier than our Savior. Amen? And I say, Lord, I looked out at it, and as I looked out today, because you can see it from the freeway, and you look down upon it, and I said, it's just nothing. It's nothing. All we have to do is march on it, wherever we set our foot, and say, you know what? We are taking this place. We're taking it back from the devil. Amen? We're going to see people being set free. And I look, and I say, oh, God, you're so good. You see, when God opens a door to the faithful church, those who believe his word, open door means a time of opportunity, a time of ministry, a time to go out. And that's what the Lord is telling Joshua here. You remember about this open door in Paul's first missionary journey in Acts 14:27. It says, and when they had come and gathered together the church and reported all that God had done with them, and here it is, that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Jesus has opened a door for us that no man can shut. But there's only one way to walk through that door in your personal life, in your ministry, or whatever. And that is always by faith. How many doors have you missed in your life? How many doors have I missed? Boy, I don't want to miss any more doors. And I say, oh, Lord, you know, I've learned something in my short life. You know, stop trying to go through closed doors. You know, if you can't get in, you can't get in. I'm not going to pry that door open. I'm going to find an open door. And I'm going, wow, Lord, thank you. It's open. I can walk right through it. Amen? So I look and I say, God, you're so good. You know, when we study out the book of Joshua, it's almost like hearing the vision statement for Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. You know, where we believe that a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will grow a great church where love never fails. Amen? This is exactly what the book of Joshua is all about. Now look at verse 5. God says to Joshua, you're talking about encouragement. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you some of the days of your life. Oh, all of the days of your life. Watch this now. As I was with Moses, Joshua, so I will be with you. I will not, that word really is, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God says, I will never walk out on my promises. I've had a lot of people make a lot of promises to me, haven't you? And they didn't keep them all. But God says, you don't have to worry about me. Every promise that I make, I will keep. Oh, we serve such a faithful God. And you know what? Do we have the same promise? The same promises? Well, God says, how about Matthew 1:23? It says that his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, we have the same promise. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, he says, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. And one of my favorite scriptures, Hebrews 13:5-6, especially from the Amplified Bible, where it says, he himself, meaning God, will never forsake you, will never leave you without support. It goes on and says, I will not ever relax my hold upon you, so that you may boldly say that I will not be terrified. I will not fear. What can man do to me? For the Lord is my helper. Amen. The Lord is my helper. We have the exact same promises. And listen, loved one, it says there, no man will stand before you all the days of your life. Man, that's the continuous, his entire life. Listen, if God be for us, his church, his sons and his daughters, who can be against us? No one. We need to rise up in faith and know the Word of God and believe the Word of God tonight, no matter what we see. Joshua is going to fight, and you might correct me on this, if I remember, at least 30 military engagements. Think about that. He's got a war in front of him, and we have a war in front of us. Every day we fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Now, so here it goes in verse 6, and look what God tells him. Joshua says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers, meaning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. In other words, don't even deviate from it slightly, for that you may prosper wherever you what? Wherever you go. Isn't it amazing that God commands Joshua? He says, Joshua, I'm commanding you now. I want you to be strong. I want you to be courageous. Why? Because you know, cowards don't possess what God has given them. Did you know that? The fearful, the unbelieving, they don't possess what God is giving them. You got to believe the Word of God, no matter what you're facing in your life, no matter what circumstance comes into your life. And those who God commands, he enables. Now look at where Joshua is to seek and to get his courage and his strength. Look at verse 8. Here it comes. And this book of the law, meaning Genesis through Deuteronomy, okay, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. The word meditate, remember, it really means to mutter or to read aloud. My grandmother always read aloud. She had you remember the magnifying glasses that you would hold in your hand? Anybody out there remember that? Yeah, you know, my grandmother had kind of like cataracts and she couldn't see very well. And she would get the big, it was huge, and she had a handle on it. And she would read, and when she read always out loud. Well, that's what it means to meditate. It means to mutter, to speak it out loud.
Well, we're out of time for today, but please tune in tomorrow for the conclusion to today's message. And in the meantime, we pray that your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.